This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Now here's WSMI's Angela Besh.
Thank you. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has forecasted that China would import around 7 million metric tons during the current marketing year, but now it doesn't look like China will meet those initial expectations due to a dilemma causing disruption in the marketplace. In November, China rejected several shipments of corn that contained unapproved GMO corn strain. U.S. Grains Council President and CEO Tom Slight says this situation has interrupted the pace of U.S. corn exports to China, but the Grains Council remains engaged with all parties in China to keep this issue from becoming overstated.
The key point is there are fundamental issues in China with biotech acceptance that we have to address. And we're working on that. We've been working on that. We're stepping up our efforts on that. There are some fundamental questions that the Chinese wanted to have answered on meeting their food security goals through trade. We're working on those issues right now and diligently with the Chinese. And we're just keeping the communication, positive engagement with the Chinese. There's no immediate magic wand to wave here, but if we keep at it, I think we'll get back to a normal trading relationship once we start answering some very key questions that are being raised in China now and elsewhere around the world.
China's government continues to screen U.S. corn and DDGS for the currently unapproved insect-resistant MIR162 gene. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports from December 19th through December 26th, net corn sales to China from the U.S. dropped by 116,000 tons from the previous week. China has imported non-genetically modified corn from Ukraine. In May 2012, China agreed to finance $3 billion worth of ag projects in Ukraine in exchange for terms, including rights to sell Ukrainian farm products. In this marketing year, USDA projects Ukraine could export 18 million tons of corn, which would make it and Argentina the third largest suppliers, right behind the U.S. and Brazil. USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service has extended the deadline for new Conservation Stewardship Program enrollments for the fiscal year 2014. NRCS Chief Jason Weller says this extension will make it possible for more farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners to apply for this important program. Weller says these good stewards ensure their operations are more productive and sustainable over the long run, and CSP can help them take their operations to the next level of natural resource management. Eligible landowners and operators in all states and territories may enroll in CSP through February 7th. You can learn more at www.nrcs.usda.gov. Farm Futures released the results of a planting intention survey they conducted. They surveyed about 1,600 farmers and found many farmers are planning to switch over acres from corn to soybeans. According to the Farm Futures survey results, planting intentions for corn have dropped 3.3% since the USDA November estimates to 92.23 million acres, and soybean planting intentions have increased by 7.6% to 82.34 million acres. The reason for this shift? According to Farm Futures, it's driven by the markets, especially the drop in corn prices. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. The weather throughout the listening area is finally looking better, although it's still easy to get jealous of farmers in South America enjoying their summer right now. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about weather conditions that could affect the South American crop and how the frigid temperatures earlier this week may have harmed the U.S. winter wheat crop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're enjoying their summer. We're seeing some temperatures in the 90s in Argentina and some areas that have not received the amount of rainfall that they would like to receive. So the crops are on the verge of stress. Particularly about a quarter of Argentina's corn and soybean belt is under stress. They're getting some timely rains that just kind of keep the crop going at this point. About a third of the corn crop is pollinated. The next two-thirds are going to pollinate over a very spread out period of time over the next 6 to 7 weeks. Soybeans are in a vegetative stage for the most part, so they still have plenty of time. This heat and dryness stretches into southern Brazil as well. That heat is expected to moderate as we get into the last half of the week, really into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then return Tuesday to Thursday of next week. but with those showers hopefully providing some relief. We're just kind of walking on the edge. Crop conditions good enough to just kind of keep crops going, but not bad enough to really create any type of stress.
For weather here, it's pretty miserably cold out. Do we have to be worried about our American winter wheat crop, depending on how cold it is or how bad the weather gets?
Yeah, this is a real concern for the winter wheat crop. And, of course, we grow winter wheat in some of the harshest conditions because, as they say, it has 9 lives. It can seem to survive a lot of different things. But when you get to this time of year when the crop is dormant, it can withstand a lot. But when you get sub-zero temperatures at the soil level, at the level of the growing point, which is actually below the surface, that's when damage can be done. Now, most of the winter wheat belt that is experiencing sub-zero conditions has some snow cover. There are some areas that are lacking snow cover, and the question is whether the snow cover there is sufficient to protect from the brutally cold temperatures that we have. We saw temperatures in the double digits, 10 to 13 degrees below zero, as far south as northern Oklahoma and some key wheat-producing regions. We've seen sub-zero temperatures all the way down in the Midwest, down below the Ohio River into Tennessee, et cetera. So the question is whether the snow cover is thick enough. Basically, we're concerned that about 15% of the hard red winter wheat belt, particularly in northern Kansas, southern Nebraska, may have seen some significant damage, as well as about 5% of the Midwest, largely around the Ohio River. But as much as a third of the plains hard red winter wheat belt may have had at least some degree of damage. The problem is we won't know until the crop breaks dormancy later this year really how much damage there is, what the scope of it is, but it does mean that the spring weather that we have is going to be far more critical to help the crop try to recover from damage that is there.
And I'm sure it's not helpful that we may have gotten snow, but with all these winds and severe winds blowing around, it might not have kept the snow on the fields.
Yeah, and that's a real concern that I'm hearing from a number of farmers. You know, the way wheat is planted, a lot of times you can get a little more snow in the ridges, so a lot of the weather forecasters are saying, well, that's enough to protect it. But when you get conditions this cold, I question whether that is the case. So it's really going to come down to waiting for the crop to break dormancy and seeing what the condition of it is. And I think that we will see some damage. The question is how significant it will be. Global wheat stocks right now, the trade has been acting as if we're overflowing in wheat. But when you look at it in terms of days of supply or as a percent of annual usage, global wheat stocks are only about a 20-day supply above the levels that we saw in 2007, 2008 when we had record prices. So if we start seeing some significant damage as we get into February and March, this market could have some opportunity to see some gains in it.
Right. With a risk for tight global supplies of wheat, I assume it's pretty logical for farmers to start worrying about their crop.
Yeah. And ironically, as you look at the former Soviet Union crop, particularly in Ukraine and portions of Russia as well, they're dealing with warmer temperatures right now. And so winter kill isn't the threat so much as it is the heaving of the soil, as every day they're getting above freezing, and then at night they're going below freezing. And when that happens, and the crop is very poorly rooted, it did not go into the winter rooted very well because it was planted late because they had dry conditions and they didn't get the showers needed to plant the wheat until very late in the planting season. So they're concerned about heaving being a problem over at least a quarter of their belt as well. So if you put these things together, I'm not saying we're going to have a bull market this spring, but it does leave some risk there for the market, and that's another reason I think we're starting to get a support at these prices. We've seen some very strong global demand, and U.S. wheat is very competitively priced right now. So that, again, supports a short covering ahead of index portfolio rebalancing that will take place over the next week, as well as USDA's crop report on Friday.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.